Hello, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m., or you can get more information by looking at our website, tulsafbc.org. May the Lord bless you this week.
Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 through 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside of it may also become clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of the bones of the dead and every kind of impurity. In the same way, on the outside, you seem righteous to people, but inside, you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Dear Lord, as we prepare to hear your word today, speak to our hearts. It's not just the world outside that needs conversion to the ways of Jesus. We need converting as well. We foolishly think our conversion is complete, but we wallow and we stray, and we need your guidance to return to your way of love. Father, grant us an awareness of our own condition. Help us to clean out all traces of greed and self-indulgence within us. Your word teaches that if we confess our sins, you are faithful to forgive us and cleanse us of our unrighteousness. We want to be vessels used for your honor. Sanctify us, Lord, and make us clean the way only you can, so that we will be useful to you and prepared to do your good work. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much. You may be seated. So I say this as your pastor who is from Texas. Today we talk about Jesus, not football. You heard me. I actually have a message in front of me. I was going to make 2 points today. But I'm going to make 10 points today. So you are going to be here forever. You will pay for what happened yesterday. So my big concern in doing this teaching series on hypocrisy is that I would come across as abrasive. In fact, I've talked to my wife several times and key leaders and just say, listen, am I coming across too harsh? Because I don't want to be shrill. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be negative in dealing with this issue of hypocrisy. I don't want to be like a car commercial. You know, the car commercials that yell at you all the time. And I tune those out or I quickly turn them off. And I say, I will never buy a car from that person. Right? I don't want to come across as abrasive. But at the same time, in Matthew 23... when Jesus addresses hypocrisy, there's some sternness in his voice. And I believe being faithful to Scripture means being faithful to whatever tone of Scripture that we are looking at. And so Jesus is very stern as he talks about this thing called hypocrisy, when we pretend to be perfect when we're not, and it's all about disguising what's really on the inside. I think he's stern that way because hypocrisy is one of those things that's so easy to recognize it in everyone else and not in ourselves. And so Jesus says, I don't want you to be thinking about anybody else. I want you to look at you on this part. So all that being said, I don't want to come across as too abrasive. I want to tell two things about you today. Number one, you are amazing. And number two, you are disgusting. Number one, you are spectacular. Number two, you are sickening. Okay, now I want you to think about who you are for just a second. You are absolutely amazing. Do you know that your tongue has its own tongue print? Just as fingerprints can identify an individual, so you have your own tongue print that's unique just to you and to no one else. No, please don't show me right now. Your nose is absolutely amazing. It can identify and remember 50,000 different smells. There's one elevator here in the church. When I step into it, it smells just like the elevator in my dorm room in seminary, at the dormitory. And so I always flash back. I remember that smell for some reason. You are absolutely amazing. And on the inside of you, you have blood vessels. If you were to put those blood vessels end to end, all your blood vessels are 60,000 miles long. and your heart pumps the equivalent of 2,000 gallons of blood every single day. You are amazing, but you are also disgusting, by the way. Okay. Do you know that you shed a pound and a half of skin every year? So over the course of a lifetime, you will shed 105 pounds. That's a small person over here that you will shed. You're disgusting. And every square inch of skin on your body has 32 million bacteria. You are sickening. And on top of that, your feet, ugh. Your feet have 50,000 sweat glands, and you can sweat the equivalent of one pint of sweat a day through your feet. You are disgusting. Now, isn't this what Jesus does? That there are aspects of us physically that are amazing, and there are other aspects that are a little bit sickening. Jesus says the same thing spiritually. He said, there are parts of you that can be spectacularly clean and spotless, but there are other parts of you that, if you really look at them, are pretty disgusting. And so here's the question for today, and if I were to take these two woes, and we'll review them here in just a moment, but if I could sum them up in one question, in one package, it would be this. What's more important to you, your appearance or your character? What is really, don't give the church answer, what is really more important to you, your appearance or your character? Look at what Jesus says here. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside, outside looks amazing, inside is disgusting, full of greed and self-indulgence. Clean the inside of the cup, the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, whitewashed tombs, you appear beautiful on the outside, that's amazing. But inside, a grave is always a grave. There are bones, impurity, rottenness. In the same way, the outside, you seem spectacular, like righteous people. But on the inside is hypocrisy and lawlessness. What is really important to you? Your appearance, which we have the capacity to look amazing, or the character? What really is on the inside of us? Now, let me give a little cultural snapshot of these two images that Jesus uses. He talks about washing cups and dishes before meals. So this was not about hygiene. It was about ritual holiness. In fact, one scholar estimates that 67% of the Jewish laws are table fellowship laws, ways to be clean around other people. And so the washing of these vessels were really, it was about holiness, not hygiene. For instance, washing the hands. Jews would wash hands before a meal, but here's how they would do it. They would take just enough water to fill your cupped hand, pound it like this, you are ritually clean. Now, every third grader knows that's not going to be clean. That's ritually holiness clean, but not hygiene clean. And they would do the same thing for the cups and the plates. They would look good on the outside, but on the inside there was rottenness. So a modern equivalent of that would be people who insist you got to pray before every meal. And if you don't pray before the meal, there's something wrong with your heart. Well, many people who insist upon praying for a meal, they pray for it, but then they glutton themselves right after that. Wouldn't it be great if we were honest when we pray before meals? God, there's meatloaf on the table tonight, and I love me some meatloaf. So can you help a brother out here and not let me overeat? You know, I tend to be a glutton, God. Help me out here. Then it's not just the image of being holy, it's you're really dealing with reality there. So Jesus uses this image of celebrating around a meal. He also uses this image of mourning in a cemetery, a whitewashed tomb that's filled with bones. Now, in the Jewish understanding, to walk over a grave, to walk on top of a grave, would make you ritually unclean, meaning you were cut off from the temple, you would be cut off from being a part of worship. And that was okay sometimes, but especially before Passover, you didn't want to be unclean before Passover because everyone was celebrating and you didn't want to be on the outside looking in. So before Passover every year, the religious people would whitewash the tombs. They would paint them so you could see where they are so you could avoid them. Jesus said, you know, it's one thing to look beautiful on the outside, but don't forget what's really on the inside that you need to address. Let me give a modern example of this. We like to sound holy, and we forget sometimes to really address what's on the inside. So you know how the internet works, hopefully. If you don't, you're about to learn. find on Amazon, and I'm searching for a book, and I say, yeah, I kind of like that book. I'm going to put that in my cart, and I go over here to Facebook. I'm scrolling down my Facebook feed. What shows up as an advertisement? That book that I was just looking at. How do they know? They put it right there in front of me. Say, you forgot to buy this. Please buy this. And those ads reflect what they know you're searching for. So right after our church launched a Facebook feed several years ago, I had an angry church member come up to me and said, on my Facebook feed for the church, I can't believe this. There were ads about scantily clad women right there on my Facebook feed. I just didn't have the heart to tell him. You know what? You expect to find holiness from your church, right? But do you also expect it from yourself? What's more important to you, the appearance of holiness or the content of our character? So here's the first thing you need to do. If you say, yeah, I'm not worried about my appearance anymore, and I'm not talking about physical appearance, I'm talking about appearing holy. Forget that. I want to deal with the content of my character. Here's the first thing you need to do, is you need to be absolutely truthful about the mess that we have made of our lives. Get before God and say, God, I have made a mess of things, and be absolutely truthful with Him. In fact, I've developed a little working list here. You are only as spiritual as you are when. You are only as spiritual as you are when you are in rush hour traffic. You are only as spiritual as you are when you have an audience on the internet. I was listening to a Christian comedian talk about he never got hate mail via email or direct message. It was always on his Facebook feed where everyone could see, where a person would have an audience. You're only as spiritual as you are when you have an audience on the internet. You're only as spiritual as you are when you're alone on your iPhone and no one knows your search history. You're only as spiritual as you are when you're home alone with your family. You're only as spiritual as you are when you're in a conflict with another person, when they have hurt you. Do you really deal with it in a Christ-like way, or do you resort to guerrilla warfare? You're only as spiritual as you are when you are most stressed. You know, the first step in addressing our character is to realize what we have to work with and what starts there. All right, God, I'm a mess on the inside. Help me out here. Man came home from work one day, and his wife had bought a stunning dress. They'd been married for 20 years, but she looked beautiful. I said, darling, you look wonderful. And she said, thank you. I bought this dress. Look at the price. Then he went through the roof. He said, I can't believe you spent this much on that dress. What possessed you to do that? She said, well, the devil made me do it. He said, why didn't you tell the devil to get behind you? She said, I did. He said, I even look better from back there, too. So we can look good on the outside, but act like the devil on the inside. I tell very few jokes, but that was a good one. I have to use that one. So taking what Jesus says here in these two mini parables, what's more important to us, our appearance or our character? Let me make two reflections here. First of all, the human heart is capable of hiding so much that others will never see. If you say, you know what, I don't want to deal with my character, that's too much work, I'm just going to keep up the appearance of being a good Christian person, that's enough, listen, you can do it. You can clean the outside of the cup, you can whitewash the tomb, you can focus on your appearance and conceal your corrupted character. You can practice consumeristic Christianity, which means you're just here for what's in it for you and your family. You can practice casual Christianity, meaning that you're willing to be committed to Christ as long as nothing else interferes. And you can practice cultural Christianity, have just enough church to shave off the guilt and to look right in front of other respected people. But there will be no change happening on the inside of you. You are capable of hiding so much that other people will never see. But what's eventually going to happen is this. Either the news will break or you will crack. What do I mean by that? Sometimes the news will break. Who you really are in the inside will come out at some point, whether you want it to or not. So my very first church in East Texas, it's the church I pastored during seminary days, and I say I pastored them. They also pastored me quite a bit. I inherited a song leader. I will not call him a worship minister. He was a song leader. He was a farmer. He led songs for that church for decades. And so I was there during his tenure, and then I moved on a couple years later. He was still leading the songs there, and then he died a few years after I left. So I called a friend of mine who was still in that church. He was one of the lead deacons, a good friend of mine. And I said, "Hey, I heard so-and-so, the song leader, won't use his name, heard he passed away. How was the funeral?" He said, "The funeral was great. The community was there. His wife was there. It was good until his girlfriend showed up." I use that good East Texas phrase, "Do what?" His girlfriend of many years, I said, "Did you know about this?" He goes, "Yeah, a few of the church leaders knew about this." I said, "Why didn't you tell me when I was there?" My friend said, "Because you would have tried to do something about it and it would have gotten you fired." Yes, I would have. And I probably would have. Here's the deal. Who you are will eventually come to light. And at that point, will you have wished that you had developed just an appearance? Or do you wish you would have developed character? So either the news will break or you will snap. Meaning that in every life, there will come a challenge. And I see it many, many times when people experience a death in the family or the fracturing of a marriage or a crisis at work. And they're looking around for some stability and strength. And if your Christianity is all on the appearance level, that foundation quickly crumbles. And people become very disillusioned with God because they've never been serious about Him in the first place. So what really matters to you? Appearance? The appearance of holiness? Or your character? You're capable of hiding a whole lot. But let's say you say, "Okay, I'm ready. I don't want to just deal with my appearance anymore. I want to deal with my character." Let me show you what you're incapable of. You're capable of hiding a lot, but you are incapable of cleaning your heart apart from divine help. You cannot change your character. There is nothing you can do to change your character. It is a human impossibility, but there's divine help. We cannot change our character apart from divine help. You can't change your character, but you can submit your character to God. And when we surrender our character to Him, that's when the change begins to happen. Now it's really easy to talk about this high level. Okay, submitting my character to God, that's up here. Let's add some teeth to that. Let me give you three questions in dealing with character. I'm going to tell you, they're not original to me. I'm not going to claim that, but I'm not going to give you the resource right now. You can see me afterwards if you want that. Three questions. What are my loves? What are my longings? What are my loyalties? These are character questions. I think it behooves you to say, what do I really love in life? And here's the answer for most of us. Me. I love me. But if our characters begin to change, we say, "God, I want you to take my love off of me and help me to love you more than I love myself. Help me to love others' needs before I love my own needs." And in so doing, in focusing that love outward, our character begins to change. Same thing with our longings. "God, I want my longings to reflect what pleases you." Now, I'm not breathing any condemnation on any media outlet, but I'm kind of a news junkie. A few weeks ago, I realized I was walking around with this dark cloud over me because I was always getting the latest news and it was always bad. And I just thought, what am I allowing to influence me? And so I did a whole week of a media fast, and then I just stepped back into it just by giving myself very little time each day to come up to speed on the news because of this. I found that I was being more influenced by circumstances than I was by the Spirit of God. I was spending more time in the media than I was in the Scripture. Now, I'm not saying there has to be a certain level there for every person. I'm just saying this is for me. How many of you have let the entertainment industry determine your longings? And when do we say enough? And again, I'm not breathing condemnation on anyone else, but who do you allow yourself to be influenced by? Don't be surprised if your longings don't line up with God, if you're not in the Scripture, if you're not spending time in prayer. It's there that we take on longings that resemble God's very best for our life. And then what are your loyalties? Here's a challenge for those of you who are any age, but especially middle-aged. I would ask you to sit down and say, what are my priorities? What do I give myself to the most? God and family, and you can list all those, work. And then look where you spend your time. Actually compare what you say are your priorities to how you spend your time and see if they line up. If they don't, your priorities, what you say are your priorities, aren't really your priorities. And if you don't decide your priorities, someone else will decide them for you. And is it time to take a stand to say, I will choose my priorities, God will choose my priorities, and I will be loyal to those things? Do you see how these questions are foundational? And there's more to these. Again, I can give you the resource later. But these are character questions. These are not about cultivating an appearance. It's about creating a character that is more in line with Christ. So, what is it for you? Just in your heart right now before God, am I more concerned about appearance or character? Which does that need to be? I was talking not long ago with a lady whose dad was a pastor. And she's still very involved in her church and still very passionate about the things of God. And as a pastor raising kids, I always take that as an opportunity. I say, okay, your dad was a pastor. One of their parents was a pastor. What did they do right that all these years later now you would still be involved in church and still passionate about the things of God? I want to learn from that. What did they do right? This particular lady said, my dad had a great sense of humor, even with the grouchiest of church people. And she gave me an example. She said, there was this man in my dad's church. He was all about appearance. Every time he would approach my dad, he would straighten his tie. He would say, Pastor, your tie needs to be perfectly straight. Windsor knot, Windsor knot. Every day, week after week. You know, that would wear on you after a while. Some years passed, this man died, and that pastor did his funeral. And the pastor was the last one in the room. The grieving family had gone out. The gentleman was laying there in the casket, jacket, vest, perfectly straight tie. Pulled the tie to the left, closed the casket, locked it up, off you go. The only thing bad about that story is I didn't think of it first. I wouldn't. And some of you better be cremated when you die. That's all I'm saying. All right. Why are we so caught up in things that matter so little? Appearances. Your character is who you are for eternity. Let's deal with that. Don't just clean the outside of the cup. Clean the inside first. And get this. Don't just whitewash the tomb. You know why? Because a grave is always going to be a grave unless there's a resurrection. And because there's a resurrection, Jesus Christ's resurrection, there's forgiveness and cleansing for our character. Let's stand together and let's pray for a few moments this morning. God, in Christian circles, we use the word confession, and it's a very appropriate word, but it really has two meanings. We can confess our sin where we have failed, but we can also confess our beliefs where we have resolve and resolution about who you are. So today I pray that we do confess, that we confess our sins, that we have sinned and we have fallen short again and again. We have erred in word and in thought and in deed. We are dirty on the inside. But we also confess that Jesus Christ is alive and well, and in him there is cleansing for the conscience, there's cleansing for the character, there's restoration for the soul. Help us to quit doing this ourselves, because we are incapable of such a thing, but to submit and surrender our character to you. Who we are is who we are going to be for eternity. So help us to be like Christ. God, we can't do this apart from our surrender and your work in us. It is in Jesus' name that we offer our prayer today. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. Every Sunday morning at the conclusion of worship, I offer this blessing to our people, and so I offer it to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.